Welcome to season 14 of the Follow My Lead podcast, where each week I bring you stories and best practices of today's leaders to help you on your leadership journey. My name is John Eads. Here we go. Welcome back. I'm excited you're here. Season 14 moving right along. Instead of a featured conversation this week, I'm going to let you in on a keynote that I did last week in Greenville, North Carolina, titled Five Principles Welder Leaders Get Right. And instead of hearing the entire thing, we've trimmed it down, something that's consumable and actionable and things that you can go apply in your workplace. So without further ado, here's yours truly around five principles welder leaders get right. I'm going to share five principles that welder leaders get right. And I'll go through these with stories and examples. But the very first thing that welder leaders get right is they model the real purpose of leadership. They model the real purpose of leadership. One of my favorite leadership quotes ever comes from John Quincy Adams. He was the sixth president of the United States. And he says, if your actions inspire others to dream more, to learn more, to be more, to do more, you are a leader. And you're probably thinking, John, it is 2018. Why are you sharing a story of a guy that was the sixth president of the United States? Bill Gates, who I'm not sure his faith background, but he said, as we look ahead in the next century, leaders will be those who empower other people. And there's no better leader in the history of the world than Jesus. This is from Mark 10. He says, instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave for all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life in the ransom of many. There's not a better leader than Jesus for us to follow. And if you combine all three of those things, at the end of the day, leadership is about serving and empowering other people. We have a definition that we've come up with from all the interviews that we've done, and it's pretty simple. Someone whose actions inspire, empower, and serve others to produce an improved state for the entire group over an extended period of time. Leadership is not about you, it's about them. And it's about going someplace better than we are today. Not just for this quarter or for this month, but for the long haul. And that's what's so impressive about what Dabo and some of these coaches have done. They're not just doing it for 1 year. Dabo Swinney put 7 diamonds in his championship ring. Why'd he do that? For the 7 teams that came before that built that championship. It's not by accident. How well are you developing leaders within your own organization? It's not just about you. You're not going to be there one day. And I say model leadership because it's one thing to know this definition or to be able to know what Bill Gates or what Jesus said in Mark. It's a completely different thing to model it. There's a story about a prisoner of war, an American prisoner of war in Japan. And this particular prisoner of war was caught by the Japanese and thrown in camp. But instead of most camps, he was treated incredibly well. They gave him 3 meals a day. They gave him time to exercise. They didn't beat him. It was like a dream scenario for someone in a prisoner of war camp. A week later, a Japanese man was caught doing something that didn't match what the Japanese army did, and he was thrown in the same prisoner of war camp. In fact, in the same cell as the American. But he was not treated like the American. He was treated like a prisoner of war. And they pulled him out 3 times a day to beat him. They barely fed him. And every day they would put that Japanese man back in the cell and the American man would take care of him. He would heal his wounds. He would save food for him. One day, the Japanese man was pulled out and he was beaten so badly. Thrown back in the prison. And the American immediately knew this guy was not going to make it through the night. He knew immediately. So he looked at his now friend
And he said, would you like to know about Jesus? And the Japanese man said, I have heard about Jesus, but if he is anything like you've treated me while I've been in this prisoner of war camp, I think I already know him. He was modeling Christ. He was modeling great leadership. That is one of your core responsibilities, is not to talk about it, but to model it. Because when you model it, people in leadership positions are what? They're watched like hawks. You cannot just be about talking about it. You have to be about doing. You have to be about showing, sharing. So that's the first one. The second one is to develop relationships built on trust. How many people in this room think they have great relationships with their people? Pretty good percentage. You don't have to be shy, okay? That's the typical answer we get. And I think John Maxwell, if you've read anything, I think he said it best. People buy into the leader before they buy into the vision. The relationship that you have with your people is so important. It goes well beyond work. It goes at home. It's just so important. Bill McDermott has become a real friend and came on the podcast. And he said, he's the CEO of SAP, and he said, trust is the ultimate human currency. Here's the thing. Trust is built by your behavior in these three areas. And there's no other way around it. Your character, the mental and moral qualities distinctive to you as an individual. How much are you going to do right from wrong? As an actor, are you going to take shortcuts to get where you're going? Or do people know that you're going to do right from wrong? Only you can answer that. And if you're leading a team, your people will watch. Do you do right from wrong? That's your character. The second is through your expertise. How willing are you to share what you know with other people? We talk about teach one, do one, watch one, do one, teach one. Can I watch you do it? Can then I do it while you watch me? And then ultimately you know you've transferred that knowledge when they can go teach somebody else. I think a lot to the things that have happened in my life. How much I trust someone is how willing they are to share what they know with me. And that leads to the third, which is the individualization. How much they make it about one-on-one. Leadership is not a one-on-many game like most people think. What leadership really is, it's a one-on-one game. I have a relationship with my wife, I have a relationship with my son, I have a relationship with my daughter, I have a relationship with Christina and Mark and David and all the people that are in our business. It's a one-on-one game. I have to make it about them. And that's how trust is built. What's the number one reason people leave companies? Leadership. That's exactly right. Bosses. A recent study found that 75% of people quit their job because of their boss. People don't leave companies. They leave bosses. Now, there are times when better pay comes along and you just feel like you got to leave. Or it's just such a great opportunity that you got to go chase your dream in a different arena. But many times our unengaged workforce is driven by the lack of quality frontline managers and leaders and organizations. And so I asked you at the beginning, how well do you know your people? And while most people say, I know them really well, what we found is that the very best leaders spend as much as 25 to 30% of their time building relationships with their people. I mean, that sounds almost outrageous. Like, I don't have that much time, period, much less to really get to know my team. Now, the bigger the team, the more time you have to allocate, but the idea is, do your people really know you? And there's one way that you can figure that out. There's the old CEO of Popeye's Chicken, she had a really great idea. She said, you know your people really well if you can name the 3 or 4 events that have most shaped that person's life. It's so good. So I thought I knew my team really well. And I was like, I know like a couple events that shaped their life. Not 3 or 4. And the easy answer is when they got married or when they have kids. But what about like divorce happened? What about a parent leaving them? Some deep stuff there in people. We can't be afraid to go there. So that's one way to know how well you really know your people. And then I was telling Pat Lencioni, if you're not familiar with Pat, he wrote a book. He's written lots of books. His most popular is a book called Five Dysfunctions of a Team. The Advantage, he's got a ton. And he came on the podcast. He's become a real mentor to me. And I asked him this question on the podcast. I said, what do people really need from their boss? What do they really need from me? And he just gave the most brilliant answer. He gave three things. That people need to be known. They need to know why their job matters. And lastly, they need to know if they're doing a good job in that role or not. If you can cover those three blocks with your people, just from a boss perspective, that you know them one-on-one, that they know what their job is and they know how they're doing in it, there'll be some job satisfaction in what it is they're doing. I was flying through an airport in Oklahoma City, and I got up to security. It was a really long line. I should get TSA, but I get up to the line, and I had the best experience I've ever had with a TSA agent. She was exceptional. She communicated. She was positive. She was laughing. She was, like, loving her job. I've never met a TSA agent that loves her job, okay? And she loved it, and she did a great job. And anytime that happens to me, because of my line of work, I like to tell their boss. I think it's important, because a lot of times what people get is what? They get the complaints. Mm-hmm. I hope you'll take this lesson today, too. It's like, when you get good service from somebody, tell their boss. It matters. So she said, oh, she's right over there. You can go tell her if you have some time, which I had some time. And I go over, and I said, I just have to tell you, the lady right over there, and I told her her name. And she says, I can't remember her name. What is it? And she goes, I don't know either. And it literally almost broke my heart to think that this employee, this team member, is doing the best job I've ever seen in all the airports that I've been into, and I know she's going to leave TSA. Because her boss doesn't even know who she is. It's sad. I get she's got 100 TSA agents and 10 lines, and it's a lot of work. But if you're spending 25-30% of your time getting to know your team and really knowing them, name is a good place to start. I would definitely know that. But think about that. Trust is the ultimate human currency. Your relationships really matter. The third thing is standards set the tone. I mentioned the definition of discipline, to promote standards in order for an individual to choose to be at their best. What is a standard? By definition, a standard is defining what good looks like. As Claude told me this morning, it should probably be great, what great looks like, which I respect. But the definition is actually defining what good looks like. Now, my best example of a standard for everybody to understand is the speed limit. So how many people have sped in their life? Everybody? How many people have willingly sped past the police officer? Willingly. You saw him and you're like, I'm gone. Now, I know we've all driven past the police officer speeding and we didn't like the consequences, but very rarely when you see a police officer, does someone just drive right by them? It's just bad practice. All the speed limit sign is a standard. It's just defining what good looks like on that road. And those police officers are there to do what? Enforce the consequences for those that don't meet that standard. Now, I need one more exercise. I need everybody to stand up just for a second. And I need everybody to raise their hands as above their head as high as they can. All right, now I need you to raise them 2 inches higher. Everybody had another level, right? All right, you can get sit down. The big difference when it comes to a standard as it relates to the speed limit, we're trying to keep people below the speed limit sign. Your job as a leader is to help people go those 2 extra inches that everybody has. Everybody has that 2 more inches. Sometimes you just need me to prompt you to go as high as you can possibly go. And you with your kids, you with your spouse, you with your people at work, Sometimes they just need somebody to help them go a little bit higher. We need people to meet the standards that we set and exceed them. We need people to meet the standards that we set and exceed them. Now, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail here, but standards come in three forms. They come in procedures, they come in policy, and they come in values. That's the third. The fourth is to empower others to make decisions. Now, most people, when asked this question, say, yep, our people can make decisions. I don't know. Is anybody like Chick-fil-A? Yes, we have some Chick-fil-A fans. So I mentioned I have two kids. Lucy, John Ellis is 6 and Lucy's 3. And mom was out of town one weekend and I had the kids. So what do dads do when mom's out of town? Take them to Chick-fil-A for like 3 or 4 hours. It's incredible. But I walk in this Chick-fil-A and this place is packed. I mean, like most Chick-fil-A's are. And I wait in line. Kids are so excited. And I finally get up to the register and we had a gift card. I order 3 meals and I hand this 16, 17-year-old girl a gift card and she looks at me and she says, "Sir, I'm so sorry, this gift card has expired." I'm like, "No." Came all the way to this Chick-fil-A because I had a gift card. And she's watching my 3-year-old at this point run right through my legs. Okay, she's just a mess. It's not a good situation. And she said, "Sir, I really appreciate you coming to Chick-fil-A today. We're going to accept this gift card even though it's expired, and we hope you'll come back." Now, this girl is in high school, and I'm positive of it. She did not turn around one time to say, "Manager, can I accept this gift card?" She made a decision where the information was. And I've talked about that story. I wrote about it in Inc. I talk about it all the time. They've made so much more money than that $15. Right? And only because she had been empowered to make decisions by her leader. Most 16, 17-year-old girls don't turn around and make a decision like that. The only way she does that is if her leadership team and her manager in particular has empowered her to do that. Now, most people think they're good at this, and I'm guilty as charged. I don't always empower my people to make decisions, and it's something I work on all the time because it's a really hard thing to give up control and to give up power. But it is the right thing to do. People don't thrive until they can make their own decisions. I'm gonna share with a few reasons or a few ways to do this. Every situation is different. You might do it well, you might do it poorly, but the first thing is to communicate the vision and the mission of the team. Right? She doesn't know whether to accept that gift card if she doesn't know where this Chick-fil-A is going and why they do what they do. So that's the first thing, and there's a bunch of stuff about that, but I'm not going to cover that. Then you got to give that permission and give the power. You got to tell them. You have to communicate. I want you to make these decisions because you now know where we're going, and I hired you for what's in between your ears. Not for your hands. You have to be able to use your brain and think. The third is to step back and then let them run with it. Step back and let them run with it. Because this is a really hard thing to do. When you start seeing someone doing something wrong, how easy is it to be like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't do that. Don't do that." But then how much do they learn? They don't. They're expecting you to solve it every single time. And then lastly, then and only then do you go provide coaching and feedback after the event has happened, after the decision's been made. I don't pretend that this is easy, okay? This is hard stuff. I mean, particularly as a parent, gosh, it's the hardest. When you know they're going to make the wrong decision. You know they are. But they're not going to learn unless they make it. And then you provide coaching and feedback. Now, there's a big difference between coaching and feedback. And I'm going to share one idea that I learned from a credible guest. There's this idea called magical feedback. Has anybody ever heard of it? There was a study done by Harvard and Yale, and it looked at the teachers that gave students the best feedback and got the best results after giving their students feedback. And what they found is what they call magical feedback. And the teachers that use something like this got the best results. I am giving you these comments because I have very high standards or expectations, and I know that you can reach them. Imagine the different scenario as an employee if you started giving your feedback this way for saying, whoa, don't do that. It's a different way to think about it, right? When I'm giving you these comments today because we have really high standards here at LearnLoft. And here's the best part. I know that you can reach them. I know you as a human being. And now all of a sudden their mind and their ears are open to even listening to what you have to say. So if you take this magical feedback is a powerful way. I even do it with my kids. We have high expectations as a needs family. And I know that you can reach them, buddy. And now all of a sudden he's not like, Dad, don't talk to me. He listens. I'm not sure he's going to change, but he listens. And then lastly, and maybe my favorite of all, which is maximize with a mantra. The power of words is so important. It changes lives. It changes hearts. And there's another college coach named PJ Fleck. And he's now the head coach at Minnesota. And he's got this thing he calls Row the Boat. Has anybody ever heard of it? A couple people? It's a brilliant story. He lost a son at 2 years old. And he had this idea that I was going to keep rowing the boat for my son. I'm going to keep rowing the boat for my son that no longer gets to walk this earth. And I'm going to do it for him and do it for me. Do it for my program. And the idea is pretty simple. The rows, where you're going, the energy that's required to go anywhere. The boat is the direction. Where are we going? And he's built this culture at Michigan that changes the behavior of his team because everybody is trying to do what? Row the boat. It requires human beings and people to row the boat. And we got to go somewhere that's worth going together. I have now interviewed 140 of the best leaders I could come across. They all use words. They all use a mantra in some way, shape, or form. Doesn't have to be a football coach. It could be a frontline manager that has a mantra for his or her team. It could be an organizational mantra. That what you're trying to do with the mantra is to help people come into work or come into the office and say, my behavior is going to reflect us reaching that mantra. It sounds easy and somewhat cheesy or corny, but trust me, it isn't. We do the same thing with our family. We say, rise above it. When your sister's picking on you, rise above it, brother. Right? And so now when my kids encounter these situations or at work, we can say, we look, our mantra at work is, let's go. You know we've done good work that day if somebody in the office is saying, let's go. We did it today. If our behaviors and our actions don't reflect that, we can't say, let's go. So now our team, they can say, let's go. We finished another, you know, it changes their behavior.
Thanks for joining us in another week of the show. If you like this, do me a favor and share it with a colleague or a friend, or leave a comment, review, and recommendation wherever you listen to podcasts. Anything that would help us spread the message of leadership, it would mean a great deal to me in my heart. Until next time, be a good leader at work and at home.